Well, welcome to 2010. Welcome to a great new year. I tell you what, God has some amazing things in store for us in the next 12 months. I cannot wait to see what the Lord is going to do in our own lives as well as in the life of our church. We have had a fantastic 2009, and many of you know our church is only about 4 months old. You know, we're just a little baby, you know, in terms of our development. But over 50 people have committed their lives to Christ in that brief time that we've been here. And the Lord just continues to bless over and over and over again. I just think that 2010 is going to be a tremendously exciting year. And so today I just wanted to share a message from my heart, something that I really believe in and that I am hopefully a firm practicer of. I strive to be. But something that I believe will make 2010 the greatest year of your life if we'll follow what the Scripture teaches us today. And so I want to invite you to grab that outline in a Bible. If you have it, you can follow along with where we're going today, because today we're talking about a new attitude for a new year. A new attitude for a new year. This is one of the most powerful aspects of the Christian life. It's the power of your attitude. The power of your attitude. How many of us have had some bad things happen to us maybe in 2009? Some things we'd like to kind of forget about. All right, yeah, that's all of us, right? Yeah, we had some kind of physical problem. We had relational problem. We lost a job. We can look back on 2009 and we can see a lot of things that we just say, oh God, please, I hope that doesn't happen again in 2010. I tell you what, we can't forecast every single thing that's going to happen in our life, but I tell you what we can do. We can control our attitude. And when we have an attitude that honors God, we are more ably equipped to handle the adversities that we face. In fact, someone said one time that we can't control what goes on around us, but we can control what goes on within us. And that's the power of a great attitude. So today we're talking about a new attitude for a new year. And I believe that a new attitude for a new year is going to give us the strength that we need to face whatever challenges are before us in the coming months. There's so many false ideas about attitude, and one of the myths of a positive attitude is we think that succeeding in life is all about talent. You know, if I was just more talented, then I would be able to do this. But in reality, our attitude has a huge amount to do with our success, and talent alone will not breed success in our life. There's a lot of people that are talented, but you know what? They have a bad attitude. And because of the attitude, they're disqualified. Doesn't matter how smart they are. Doesn't matter how much experience they have. The attitude disqualifies us many times. But a positive attitude is not just about talent. Now, sometimes we think, well, people that have a great attitude are people that have had fewer challenges than other people. You know, they've had life easier than I've had it, so they're more positive than I am. Not necessarily the case. In fact, some of the people that have achieved the most have gone through the greatest adversity. And a lot of times the adversity that people are going through, we don't always know what people are going through. We just look at their life and go, oh man, I wish I had their life. I wish that I knew the people that they knew. And I wish I was a part of this family, or I wish that I had these credentials, because man, life would be so much easier and my life's so much harder. And we kind of compare oftentimes. But listen, your success is not just about how easy your life is. Oftentimes people succeed in life because they have an attitude that honors the Lord. And that's what we're talking about today. So that's a myth. There's another myth, a third myth, and that is that certain people are born with a positive attitude. You know, it's like a personality thing. There's like positive people, and then there's like negative people, and it's predisposed. You're just born with this gene or with that gene. You're just positive or you're just negative, and you can't change and you can't be different. Absolutely not the case. In fact, if you're going to have a positive attitude and a positive outlook on your life, that's something you're going to have to work at. I don't care how you grew up or what family you're from or what situation you've had. All of us have a tendency to be cynical and negative. And the only way that we can begin to rise above that and to change is to have the power of Jesus Christ in our life. So I want to share with you three principles today about a new attitude for a new year. And you can change your attitude, and I can change my attitude, and we can make a decision today to have a new you. Now, there's all this talk today. You know, at the beginning of the year, people want to have a new you. People want to lose weight, and they want to eat better, and people want to exercise more, and they want to have more fiscal responsibility, and that's all a part of the new you. And you know what? That's great. I hope you do all that if you want to. But you know what? A new attitude is what we're talking about today. And I believe that a new attitude might take us further in life than any of these other things that I've just mentioned. So let's talk about, what does God say about a new attitude? Well, the Scripture tells us that we begin by developing this new attitude for a new year by crucifying the old self. Crucifying the old self. Now, Ryan, what in the world are you talking about? Crucify the old self. Notice the Scripture, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. You see, part of the new attitude is rooted in the fact that the old person, the person before we knew Jesus Christ, the Bible says that person is constantly being crucified so that the new person, the resurrected person, the person of Jesus Christ living in us begins to give us a new attitude, a new perspective, a new mentality, a new passion, a new identity. And Paul uses a strong word here when he talks about, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. I mean, you know, he's not talking about something subtle, you know, but to be crucified, I mean, it's a dramatic word. It's a direct word. But the Scripture teaches us that when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, that the old person begins to die so that the new person can rise up. And that's where this new attitude for a new year is rooted, man. Maybe today you've never really committed your life to Jesus Christ, and you have the old person, but you don't have the new person. And today you need to begin this relationship with God by just asking Christ to be the leader and the Lord of your life. And that's page one. That's the beginning place of really developing this new attitude. And then the Christian experience is about fleshing this out. It's about living this out. Now, the truth of this verse is simple. It's live and let die. You know, live and let die. That may sound kind of weird, but here's the central fact of the Christian life. If you're going to live the Christian life, you have to die. You can't live until you die. Now, it sounds kind of paradoxical. It sounds almost kind of confusing. But when the old person begins to die, that's when the new person begins to live. And so some of those old attitudes and those old thoughts that keep coming back into our mind, the Bible says when we crucify those things, listen, the thoughts, the attitudes that say, I can't achieve my goal. I can't have a fulfilling marriage. I can never get a promotion. Those attitudes, those thoughts that are in our mind, that's the old person. That's who you used to be. That's who you were before you met Jesus Christ. And now God's given us a new mentality that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible with God. If God's for me, who can be against me? And we begin to change our thinking. We begin to change our mind. We begin to crucify, to let the old self die so that the new self can live. A Christian is not the old man trying to live his best for Jesus Christ. The Christian is someone who allows the old man to be crucified so that Jesus can live in and through him. It's a big difference. So we let self die to you so that the Savior can live in you. And in a sense, the Christian is both dead and alive. You know, if you've ever thought about it, we're talking about paradoxes a little bit today. The Christian is both dead and alive. We're dead to our sin and to who we used to be, and now we're alive to Jesus Christ. We're wanted both dead and alive. And you can't live until you die, the Scripture says. Now, Galatians 2:20 distinguishes a Christian positive attitude from a humanistic secular attitude. You can go and hear a motivational speaker, and somebody can motivate you. You know, you've heard people speak before, motivational speakers, and you just get done, you know, listening to the talk, and you're like, rah! You know, you're just ready to conquer the world. You're just excited. You know, you're motivated, and the adrenaline's pumping, you know? And that's cool. But, you know, the difference is, in the Christian life, that the Bible says, it is not I who lives, but it is Christ in me. So it's not just about what I can accomplish. It's not just about what I can do in my own strength. It's about what God can do in and through my life as I trust Him. It's a big difference. So our life is not just about us, but it's about the Christ in us. And if we build our life around an attitude that is positive only when circumstances are positive, you know what we'll have? We'll have a very shallow life, won't we? You know, stock market's up, marriage is good, money in the bank, woo, you know, I'm feeling good. And then all of a sudden something craters. The next day we're defeated, we're depressed, we're discouraged. We're all over the place. Too much of our attitude depends upon circumstances. That's why we need to let our attitude be rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. Because listen, when Christ is the foundation of your life, when good things happen or when bad things happen, you have a consistent foundation. You have a strength to draw from that has nothing to do with your circumstances, but it has to do with who Jesus Christ is in your life. I mean, so many people today struggle with attitude, and attitude is all over the place because it's all about circumstances. How do I feel? Or what's going on in my life? Or all these things we can't control. We can't control what's going on around us. We can control what goes on within us. And that is letting the old self die and the new person live in Christ. Now, Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, and he talks a little more about this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. You ought to underline that, attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now this word, the to put on and to put off, is a word in the language of the New Testament that means like to get dressed or to put on some clothes. And so Paul is saying we need to take off, you know, we need to undress who we used to be, and we need to put on who we are in Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is made new in the attitude of our mind. You see, the old self used to be skeptical and cynical and carnal and selfish. But the new self, the new mentality, the new way of thinking is one that is centered on righteousness and holiness and being filled with hope and being filled with grace. And so our mind begins to change when we put on the new self. So our attitudes need to be adjusted. And we're fine-tuning our attitudes all the time. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could just flip a switch and say, man, I'm a follower of Christ. You know, I have an incredible attitude just all the time. That would be awesome. It would be powerful, wouldn't it? But you know what? The truth is we have to continue to work on our attitude over and over again. The beginning place is when we crucify the old self. We invite Christ into our life and we start that process. But the process from that point forward takes a little time, and it takes some energy, and it takes some discipline at times, and we've got to work on it a little bit. Listen, if you're going to have a great attitude in 2010, you've got to decide to do that. Nobody can do it for you, and it's going to take some time and some energy. Okay, that's what we're talking about today, a new attitude for a new you. So you've got to keep working on it and take responsibility for it. Now, the scripture goes on and it says not only just crucify the old self, but there's a second thing. There's a second thing that we need to do to develop this new attitude for a new year. And that is commit yourself to serving others. Okay? Commit yourself to serving others. Look at Philippians chapter 2. The scripture says in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And each of you should look out not only for your own interest, but for the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then on down in verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I love verse 5 here where it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How was Jesus' attitude? His attitude was one of a servant, right? Verses 3 and 4 talk about how Jesus was always serving others. Jesus was selfless and he was submissive. He was always esteeming other people to be more important than himself. That's one of the reasons why he died on the cross, because he loved us. And the story of Jesus' life is all about others, not about himself. It's all about others. You know, we live in a day and age where there's such an emphasis on self. There's such an emphasis on me and what do I want to do and what's going to help me. And if you go to Barnes & Noble and you look at all the magazines and many of the books that are there, all of the literature seems to be about us. It seems to be about me. What do I want to do? There's very few books and magazines that are written about serving other people. I guess that stuff doesn't sell very well, right? But there's such an emphasis on what do I want to do and how much weight do I want to lose and how much money do I want to make and what are my goals? And you know, all that's fine in a certain place, but what about serving others? What about following the example of Jesus Christ who gave his own life, man, to be a servant? And that caused us to ask a hard question today, man. Who can we serve? Who can we be about lifting up? Even this week, man, who could you help reach some of the goals that they have and you don't get anything back in return? You're just pouring your life out. You're just serving others. You're just letting the attitude of Jesus Christ be in you. And you know what? Here's the thing. When we begin to serve others, we actually get the blessing. Isn't that funny the way that works? Now, we don't serve others just so that we can get things. But listen, when we've got a bunch of problems, one of the greatest ways to get all of our focus off of our problems is to go help somebody else. Go serve somebody else. And God created us that way in the beginning, and when we don't serve others, there's a void in our life. But you're going to get the benefit from it. So I want to encourage you this week to just think about a couple of people that you want to serve. You want to just do something for them. And they may not even know that you're doing it for them. You may not get anything in return. But you're just going to give your life away because you want to have the attitude of Jesus Christ, man. A new attitude for a new year. And that is just esteeming and lifting up other people, man, more than ourselves. That's how Jesus lived, man. Just commit yourself to serving others. And I tell you what, if you'd like to serve others, the Edge Church is a great place to serve. We've got a ton of ministries that you could be involved in. And you could even just put that on your connection card. You may think, man, I want to serve people. I want to do something. Just don't know what to do. Don't know where to go. The Edge Church is all about community. It's all about serving others. It's all about giving ourselves away. Join one of our teams. Make 2010 the year of ministry, the year of service. We'll train you. We'll show you what to do. It's great. And in doing that, you're developing this Christ-likeness, this attitude that Jesus Christ exemplified for us. So we begin by crucifying the old self. Then we commit ourselves to serving others. And then we got to talk about this third thing, man. And I love Philippians 4:8 because this is one of my life verses. Okay, love this. Don't miss this. Concentrate on what is good. Okay, concentrate on what is good. Now, don't miss this, guys. What I'm about to tell you has so much potential to change your attitude. It has so much potential to impact your life. Notice the scripture. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay? In other words, meditate on, think about the things that are good. Now, the natural way of thinking, the old way of thinking is think about everything that's bad, or think about whatever goes into your mind. The new person, the new way of thinking, I'm not Know if you've ever done this before. Have you ever made yourself sick just by being worried? I have. You know, isn't it amazing that our thoughts can control our own physical health? You know, the thoughts that we put into our mind can be destructive. If you want to change the way you feel, change your thought life. Change your thinking. Begin to meditate and to think on the things that are good, the things that are positive. And what you think about the most and what you meditate on is what you will become. Okay, so if you're going to think negative thoughts and I'm going to fail and life is so hard, feel sorry for me and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of life you're going to have. If you begin to think in terms of Philippians 4:8, you begin to meditate on the things that are admirable, the things that are honorable, the things that are true, that are trustworthy, that are good, you're going to have that kind of life. So here's what I do. If I get three pieces of bad news in one day, you know, and I get one good piece of news, I force myself to think about the one good thing. Now, that's hard. That's hard because there's three bad things. Sometimes there's five bad things, you know, to think about. Five things that are discouraging. Five things that are negative. And a lot of times we say, well, how was our day today? Well, you know, we had five bad things that happened and one good thing. So I guess it was a terrible day. So I'm going to think about that. I'm going to go home from work and I'm going to think all night about how bad it was. And I'm going to lay awake at night and I can't sleep. And I'm going to think about how it was so much worse. The way that we keep going and facing adversity is we say, you know what? Those things are tough. And I'm going to deal with those things. And I am dealing with those things. But I'm not going to meditate on it, and I'm not going to think about it 1 second longer than I have to, because I want to think about what is good. I want to meditate on what is good. So what I begin to practice in my own life is, if there's five bad things and one good thing, I just force myself to think about how great that one thing is. And that just motivates me. You know, I begin to meditate on that, and that keeps me positive. Then I can go back and deal with the bad things with more strength. I found also in my own life that when I get negative or get down, a lot of times it's because I haven't spent time with God like I need to. You know, and so if I find myself being kind of critical or kind of worried or whatever, the first question I always ask myself is, Ryan, how much have you prayed today? How much have you read the scripture today? And then I have to be honest with myself and go, ooh, yeah, maybe I kind of blew it there. I need to go back, and I get the Bible out, man. I begin to read what God's Word says. I begin to pray. And then all of a sudden, these other problems don't seem to be as big, and I just begin to put my mind back on the things that matter, the things that are good. In fact, to start our church, I realized that if we were going to move here from out of state and begin a new church, that I had to have a number of ministries and churches and partners involved to help us get this thing started. I mean, it is expensive to start a new church, and you need a lot of manpower, a lot of help. We didn't know anybody when we moved here. We just started from scratch. And so I knew the only way we could do that was we had to develop partners. And so I started calling all these churches. And I want you to know I've contacted over 225 churches to talk to them about being a partner with us in our ministry here. Actually, I think it may be more than that. I quit counting them after a while. I want to tell you something. 190 churches said, Ryan, no thanks. We're not interested in helping start a church in Colorado. 190 no's. That is hard sometimes. I've had people not call me back, people stand me up for appointments, all that. I mean, that's just part of it. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. That's just hard. That's just hard. This is what you do. 190 no's. But you know what? 35 ministries said yes. We'd love to be a part of that. And you know what? Those 35 ministries have helped us get to where we are today. So that's great. So the way that I continue to motivate myself to contact all these ministries and to develop partners, as I just kept thinking about the one church that was going to help me. And I just kept thinking about the two churches that were on board. And I just kept thinking about the five churches that were on board. And then I just totally forgot about all those other guys. I didn't even think about them. That's why I had a list of all the churches that said no, and I quit looking at it, and because I started getting discouraged when I looked at it. But then I started looking at all the people that said yes, and all the people that said, Ron, we'd love to invest in that. We'd love to send teams of people. We'd love to give you equipment. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to do whatever we could do to see a church started in Aurora, Colorado. And you know what? That's how we got to where we are today. Now, more than 50 people have committed their lives to Christ. God is blessed. We've got a growing church that's here. And the way we've been able to accomplish that is that we stayed focused on what is good. And that's the mentality of the Edge Church. Listen, every church goes through hard times. We're going to go through hard times in the future. You know, that's just part of it. But you know what? We're going to stay focused on the things that are good and the things that are positive and the things that are uplifting and inspiring, because that is where our strength comes from. We begin to meditate on the things that Philippians 4:8 says, man, the things that are true, the things that are honorable, the things that are good. That is what motivates us. That's what inspires us. That's what helps us face whatever adversity is in the future. And that's where the strength of the Edge Church comes from today. It's an attitude that just says we're going to do whatever it takes to meet the goal, whatever it takes to accomplish the mission at hand. That's what we're going to do, whatever it is. It's going to be hard at times. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But whatever we got to do to reach the goal, we're going to come together and we're going to do it. And that's a new attitude for a new year. That's the attitude of this church. I'm a student of church history, and I love Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, who was arrested because of his teachings and was put in prison at the castle of Wartburg. Now, most people that were Martin Luther probably would have looked at the wall and said, man, God, where are you? And all these mean people are putting me in prison, and I got to stare at this wall, and it's cold in here, and they bring me terrible food, and, you know, what a waste of time and energy and all that. You know what Martin Luther did? He said, well, I've got a little extra time on my hands. I guess I'll take the Latin Vulgate, the Latin Bible, and I will translate it into German so that the German people can read the Scripture in their own language. And so Martin Luther kept a positive attitude. He just said, hey, it's a little different from what I thought, but I'll do that. You know what? That translation of the German Scripture was part of the impetus that drove the Protestant Reformation, because no longer were people tied to the interpretation of the Catholic priests, but they could read the Bible on their own. And it was powerful. And it was good. See, we've got to stay focused on the things that are good, the things that are positive. And listen, when we begin to do that, we can change our attitude. Now, we can't change where we're from or how smart we are or how we look or all the things that have happened to us in the past. But you know what we can change? We can change our attitude. We can change our attitude. Wouldn't you like to make 2010 the year of the new you? Let's just bow together for a word of prayer. God, we do come before you at the beginning of a new year, and God, we want to have an attitude that lines up with what you're saying and doing in our lives. So, God, we need strength from you to crucify the old self, the old way of thinking. Lord, every person that's here that's a follower of Christ is tempted to go back to the old way of thinking. And God, we don't want to live that way. So God, give us strength to do so, and help us to manage our minds, God, where we only meditate on the things that are uplifting and positive. Let us be people that are always lifting up others instead of tearing people down. God, that's the kind of life that we want to have. That's the kind of church that we want to have. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, maybe today you'd like to meet the God of the new attitude, the God that we've been talking about today. The Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ came. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on a cross, and later he was raised from the grave 3 days later. And the Bible tells us that by placing our faith in him, that we can receive the resurrected life, the new life in Jesus Christ. And maybe today you've never crossed the line of faith. Maybe you've heard about God, or maybe you've read about Jesus or seen a video or a friend's talked to you about Jesus Christ, but you've never really embraced him and you've never made him the leader and the Lord of your life. And this morning, at the dawn of a new year, you want to say yes to Christ. You want to say yes to a new beginning and a new attitude. Would you just pray with me? Just say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. And now, Lord, come into my life and help me to walk with you. I'm placing my faith in Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.